Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now today I'm continuing my series of human interest stories that helps you get inspired by interesting people in great destinations. Today I'm talking with BJ Dennis, who is a chef in the Charleston, South Carolina area. And he's talking all about traditional Southern foods, how they have changed, but how he's also bringing back some of the traditional ones and tying them to destinations all around the world, in Africa and the Caribbean and along our southern coastline in the Lowcountry. So I want to continue my conversation with BJ. Here we go. So BJ, thank you so much for staying with me. So as I was mentioning when we went out in the last segment, that I would love for you to talk about, you know, your style of cooking. You've mentioned that, you know, that you're very interested in, you know, the Gullah, Geechee, you know, our culture and our food and all of that. So let's talk a little bit more about that, because I know that you've also gone to West Africa, so you can really see and talk about and connect West Africa to the, you know, the things that you do.
Yes. You know, I've spent time, well, I'll say this, my first foray into West Africa was honestly Haiti. Because I went to Haiti, and Haiti, before I even went to West Africa, I was like, man, this feels like somewhere very familiar. And Haiti, you know, when you go there, and then you finally go to West Africa, you're like, okay, this is the closest thing to Africa we have in the Western Hemisphere, it's the island of Haiti. And the food that I was seeing over there was so similar. Well, speaking of Haiti, was so similar. And then going to West Africa, I was in, before COVID, I was in Benin. I was in Senegambia. And then I went in the Gambia cooking with a Creole woman. And you know, the Creole of Gambia were descendants of people who migrated back from over here, Jamaica, parts of the South, to Gambia. And she was cooking, she made the jollof or the benachin, which was their red rice, which is the mother of red rice that we eat here. Mm. You know, she made the okra soup, and that's what they called it, okra soup. You know, and there are slight differences. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things there that, well, let me rephrase that. There are things there that we were still doing 200 years ago. Mm. You know, the using of smoked fish, the using of dried shrimp. Mm-hmm. Shrimp heads, shrimp bodies, and powdering out and putting that into the soup. So, you know, I saw these things that were also a part of our culture that we may not do anymore because we became accessible to refrigeration and things like that. And not saying that they don't have that over there, mm-hmm. but they kept those core stuff in their food ways. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just amazing. You saw the peas, the black-eyed peas, the red peas. Mm-hmm. But
let me ask you this, BJ. Do you think some of the differences that you're referring to that you saw between, you know, like Senegambia and here, what maybe also to attribute some of the influences that we've received here?
Yes. Yes. No doubt. No doubt. You know, we tend to not remember how important the Native American influence was on us. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the okra soup. It's usually going to have, not along with the okra and tomato, the butter bean and corn. Two crops that are native to the Americas. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you also have the European influences in the food ways. You know, a lot with a lot of our desserts. Things that we love, macaroni and cheese, hello. That's a very European thing.
Yeah.
Potato salad, uh-huh. It's European.
But, you know, it's funny you say that, too, because macaroni and cheese is considered like soul food. Although,
yes.
You know, it's like you said, it's not quite African.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Even down to fried chicken. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people will say that fried chicken was a big thing with the Scottish. Mm. You know, when I'm in West Africa, I'm not seeing, you know, you see that in places. You see fried chicken, like, now, like, at Kentucky Fried Chickens and low fried chicken spots in West Africa. But in the streets of West Africa, when you're going out to street food, it's smoked and grilled chicken. Mm-hmm. You know, smoked and grilled fish. You know, you're not seeing as much fried like we see here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are those subtle differences because of the influences. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's also dishes that I saw there that were lost here, like the okra, the pea fritters. You know, the old black-eyed pea fritters that you still see plentiful in West Africa. parts of Brazil. Well, we have those in our old Charleston Colonial or Low Country Colonial cookbooks. You know, so I saw things that were still being done that was less lost with us now. So it was also a great learning experience because it helped me kind of say, okay, well, these are things that we used to do that we should be bringing back.
Yeah. And like I said, too, you can see that direct connection to them, too, and know that this is why you see them here is because when the ancestors came over from West Africa, they brought those recipes and those foodways with them.
Right.
And yes. Just were able to integrate them into the lives here.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, if you hashtag okra soup on social media, you know, you hit hashtags and it takes you all over the place. You hashtag okra soup, you're automatically transported to West Africa. Mm-hmm. And you've seen all these different chefs making their okra soup.
That's cool. Okay. So we need to do that then. We need to take a look at the hashtag.
You hit a hashtag, hashtag okra soup, and you'd be like, whoa, you're in Nigeria, you're in Benin, you're in Senegambia. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in Ghana, you know, so it's the linkage is there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important because I think food is that one denominator that's going to bridge us together. And let us know that, wait a minute, we are similar. We do have those similarities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, where are some of the other, so you went to Senegambia. Where else did you go in Benin?
So I was in Benin. I went through pretty much most of Benin, well, most of the major cities, Cotonou, Ouidah, Porto Novo. Let's see, I've been to, after Benin, I went to Angola.
Okay.
Which was beautiful. Been to Luanda, and then we went to the countryside and got to go where Queen Zinga was. I didn't make the Ghana.
Uh-huh.
I spent time in Angola after my trip from Benin, and then recently Senegambia. Mm-hmm. Senegal and Gambia. So, and I was in the Casamance. And that was that experience in the Casamance, which one of the oldest rice regions in the world, was very, very, very influential. Because here I am in this village, and we're having a celebration, and then the ladies are dancing with the rice hanging out their head. And it was surreal because I also looked at the fact that, wow, we had ancestors pulled away from this area to grow rice for folks that use that rice to weaponize against them. And here, the ancestors were celebrating that rice. Mm. So I was thinking in my mind, like, wow, these people were taken from these regions where they celebrated this rice. Now they were growing that rice that they couldn't even have really access to for the most part, and it was weaponized against them. So, mm-hmm. And the bee in Casamance was beautiful. I got to see some of the old, ancient strains of West African rice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the trip to West Africa has been really, really enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
And eye-opening and very influential and just inspiring.
And just, you know, just to be able to be there and see the culture come alive, you can also, I know for me, when I've gone to West Africa and then come back to like the Low Country here, you can see how some of that thread of the culture in West Africa, you still can see it here.
Oh, yes.
Very clearly. Through the food, through other, you know, cultural things, through the basket making, the fish nets, the seine fishing, you know, just all the different things.
And the landscape, too.
The landscape.
It looks eerily similar. Eerily similar.
Yeah. I mean, so you can just imagine the enslaved, you know, Africans who came over, they must have kind of thought, like, well, what just happened?
Right. Right.
But now we need to take another break here. But when we come back, I know Doc Bill, who's sitting in here with us, has some questions. And we definitely want to get in and talk about your food because your food is, I have had some before, and your food is very good. I want to talk about that. I know you have a project coming up as well.
Yes.
Great information from BJ. Now, if you're like me and you're getting all excited and you're ready for a trip to Charleston, South Carolina, visit the website explorecharleston.com for information on things to do, places to eat, and, of course, places to stay. Now, today's show is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses. You can check out the website sapeloislandbirdhouses.com. You can go to Sapelo and have a great time there. Talk with some of the local cooks on the island and have them prepare a geechee meal for you. BJ mentioned how rice is a big part of the West African coast, so the song that we're going out on is the Ghana Rice Song. So we'll be back in a moment here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends.